morning, church. Nice to see you all. You guys can take a seat. Thanks, guys. You guys can take a seat as well. So you probably, if you've been here the last few weeks, you would have heard John or perhaps Bruce talk about the fact that this year in our preaching, we're focusing on our core values: love God, love people, serve God, serve people. And we're sort of rotating through those with variations on that theme. And so as John said last week, he was talking about loving God through offering our whole lives as worship to God. And this week, we're talking about loving people, and specifically loving people into a connection with Jesus. When I first started reading the Bible, when I was probably a teenager, and I read the Gospels, and I was amazed at how Jesus wasn't always nice to everybody. Sometimes he would just let people have it with both barrels. But people still responded well to him. People wanted to follow him. They wanted to come back and hear more. They wanted to have a connection with him. And so I thought, well, I'll try this. So I found one of my friends who I thought had some things in his life that needed to change, and just hit him right between the eyes. This is exactly what you need to change. And it did not go well. It went poorly. But at some point, I think I realized that whatever Jesus was doing, whether he was, you know, being kind and nurturing to people, or whether he was just slamming people for something, everything that Jesus did was motivated by love for people. That's what I was missing. That was his entire agenda. Whenever he had an encounter with someone, his entire agenda was to love that person and bring them into connection with him. That's why God became a human being in the first place, to make a connection, to show his love to us. I've got these Bluetooth headphones, which I use frequently when I'm doing stuff at home. I mean, Susan's glaring at me right now. She's always like, take your headphones out. Because when I'm, you know, in the garden doing jobs, whatever, I like to listen to music or podcasts or whatnot. And so sometimes I'll go and take these out of their holder, put it in my ear, and I'll hear that little sound. There's a connection. Did it? And I think, great, get my phone, find the playlist, hit play, and there's nothing coming out, no music at all. And I think, oh, yeah, okay, it's not connected to my phone. It's connected to something, but it's not actually connected to my phone. What was the thing that I had it connected to last that now I've got to... So then begins the hunt to find which of the dozen devices in our house it might be connected to. Is it connected to my work laptop? No, not connected to that. Is it the... Was I watching a movie on the iPad last night? No, it's not connected to that. Maybe it's connected to Susa's laptop. Ah, that's right. Yeah, I was using it. Okay, disconnect from that. Now I can connect my phone, hit the music. Now I can hear the music. And, you know, we are a bit like these headphones, because we make all sorts of connections in our lives. But when we have a connection to something else, it can prevent us from making a connection with Jesus. It stops us from hearing the music. Like we sang before, redemption has a soundtrack. When we're connected to Jesus, he wants us to hear the music that he's playing through that connection. But when we're connected to something else, it stops us from hearing that. And so this is why when Jesus goes around encountering people, when he's being very harsh with people sometimes, it's because he's trying to break a connection that they have with something so that they can then make a connection with him. And in Luke chapter 18, we see a few examples of this. Four encounters that Jesus has with people where he's trying to break a connection with something that they have in their lives. Let's take a look at them. Starting in verse 9, here's the first encounter. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. This is the story he tells. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like the other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. These people that Jesus is telling the story to, this is a made-up story, but Jesus is telling it to people who are full of their own self-righteousness, says Luke. They have a connection to their own self-righteousness, which they think is leading them towards God, and Jesus sees it in them. This is not leading you towards God. This is actually leading you away from God. And if you want to make a connection with me, we need to break that connection to your self-righteousness. Let's look at another encounter. Verse 15. One day some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God, like a child, will never enter it. Jesus saw in his disciples, these are followers of Jesus, but he saw in them that they had a connection to their own self-importance. The work that we're doing here is so important, we can't possibly be bothered with these little people who don't matter. They're not going to be able to contribute anything. So they are not even on our radar. We're not even going to include them. And Jesus flips it on its head to break their connection. Says, you know what? If you can't become like these, forget about them becoming like you. If you can't become like them, you're in danger of not even getting in. That's pretty harsh. But Jesus is trying to break their connection so that they can have a connection with him. Let's look at another one. Verse 18. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question. Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. Only God's truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You mustn't steal. You mustn't testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. The man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. And when Jesus heard his answer, he said, there's still one thing that you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven and then come and follow me. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. This man, this is like such a tragic story, actually. It's like a Shakespearean tragedy. This guy has spent his entire life trying to please God. He clearly wants a connection with God. He's trying to do all the right things. I'm a good man, he says. What else do I have to do? But Jesus sees in him that there is a connection that he's unwilling to break. He's connected to his wealth and everything that that brings, you know, security, comfort, freedom, all of that stuff. He's got that connection. And Jesus sees it in him and says, there's just one more thing. That's good. You've done all these things. There's just one little thing you have to do. Sell all your possessions and let's break that connection and then you can come and follow me. And the man can't do it. He gets to the final hurdle, so to speak, and he turns away sad because he's unwilling to break that connection to follow Jesus. And when Jesus saw this, he said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Because that connection is a strong one. That attachment to our wealth is a very strong one. And a fourth encounter in verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. And when he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. See, this man had a connection to something as well. He had a connection to his blindness. But this was a connection that he didn't want. He didn't ask for it. He didn't want it. He didn't need it. It was not doing anything good in his life. But he couldn't be free of it. He had no power to be free of this connection. So when I'm out in the garden, I've got my earphones in, and I'm listening to the music, and I'm pulling up weeds or whatever, and all of a sudden, sometimes, the music will stop in my headphones, and suddenly the car radio will come on through there, because Sousa's just pulled into the driveway, and the car has somehow hijacked the connection to my earphones, and the music's gone, and now I'm just hearing whatever was on in the car. It's probably not the radio, it's probably Peter Coombe or something like that. But the music I was listening to is gone. Sometimes we make connections in our lives that we're not trying to make and that we don't actually want. Whether that's sickness, whether it's grief, whether it's anger and unforgiveness. You know, someone does something to us, we didn't want it. But all of a sudden, now, all we can think about is that anger and unforgiveness that's just roiling around inside of us, and that becomes our primary connection. That's what's feeding us. And we stop being able to hear the music. And Jesus wants to break those connections as well. And in this story here, he steps in and he breaks the connection that this man has to his blindness, which also meant, by the way, in those days, a connection to poverty and being a social outcast and all the things that go with it. And Jesus steps in and breaks that. And what does the man do? He gets up and he follows Jesus, praising God. Jesus breaks that connection so that that man can now make a connection with him. But, typical Jesus, he goes further than actually we would like him to. We're you know, maybe reasonably comfortable with him going that far. In Luke 14, Luke writes, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, that person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. That's a hard saying, isn't it? Settle down, Jesus. That's what we want to say. Why would Jesus want to break our connection to good things? These are good things. Our life is a good thing. Our family is a good thing. You know, there are lots of other good things in our life, work and so on. Why would Jesus want to break our connection to those things? So I'm out in the garden, and I'm doing the weeding, and I'm moving along the fence line, and we've got quite a large garden. And usually I'll leave my phone on the porch because I'm down in the dirt. I don't want to get dirty and everything. And at some point, as I'm moving along, the music will start to cut in and out. And then I keep moving along, and at some point, the music just stops completely because I've moved out of range on my phone. And Jesus' point here is that if we have a primary connection with anything else apart from him, doesn't matter whether it's a good thing, bad thing, whatever, if our primary connection is with something else and not him, it is going to drown out the music. It is going to cut off that connection to him. You know, it's like, I want to build a connection with Jesus, but I just really need to focus on my job right now. I'm at a really crucial stage of my career. I just want that to be my focus right now. I want to build a connection with Jesus, but I've just met this new guy or girl, and that's just where my focus needs to be right now. I want to build a connection with Jesus, but you know, it's the federal elections around the corner, and I just need to be really engaged with what's happening politically because it's really important. None of those things are bad things, but what happens if we make those our primary connection? One day, we wake up and we realize, you know, I haven't heard the music for a while. Maybe I'm not even sure I'd recognize it anymore if I heard it. And so Jesus wants to break our connection to everything else apart from him. But, you know, it's ironic that when we allow Jesus to break those connections and to build that connection with him, that connection with him actually powers our other connections. When our connection with Jesus is strong, we're not less loving to our family, we're more loving. When our connection to Jesus is strong, we're not less engaged with the community around us, we're more engaged. We're not less productive at work, we're more productive. Our connection with him fuels these other good connections. So we won't lose them. This is what Jesus talks about. You've got to lay down your life if you want to follow me. Not because he wants us all to just die and be nothing, but because he wants to give us back our life in a new way. He wants to give us back those connections that we had in a new way. And in John's gospel, Jesus uses a different image to describe this. They didn't have Bluetooth headphones back then. They were still on wired connections, I think. Jesus uses the image of a grapevine. And he says this in John 15. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Different image, same point. Same point. Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Now, this sermon is supposed to be about loving others into connection with Jesus, right? But so far, I've really been talking about our connection with Jesus. But that's because what Jesus says here in John 15 is that our connection with him is what makes us fruitful. Yeah. That fruit that he's talking about there, if you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. There's lots of fruit of the Christian life, but one of the fruits of the Christian life is bringing others into connection with Jesus. What Jesus called making disciples. That is one of the key fruits of a life lived by faith in Jesus. So that's kind of a reassuring thing, but a confronting thing as well. The extent to which my connection with Jesus is strong determines how fruitful I am. It's reassuring because it means that it doesn't depend on my skills and abilities. It doesn't matter about my resources. It doesn't matter how well I know the Bible or whether I can pray for people eloquently. These aren't the things that really matter. What matters is whether my connection with him is strong. Yeah. And if it is, he says, you will bear much fruit. And we believe that by faith. Like John was saying this morning when we were praying, we don't want to focus on, you know, all the things. There's lots of things that we can focus on. Let's focus on him and trust him to work out all these other things. Let's keep our focus on him. And if we want to bring others into connection with Jesus, it's not that we have to get up every day and sort of fire ourselves up. Today's the day I'm going to make sure I bring someone into connection with Jesus. Yesterday was not so good. Friday was a complete write-off, but today's the day. No, we just need to focus on our connection with him. Yeah. Remain in me as I remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. And when our connection with Jesus is strong, we are hearing the music and we're going about our daily lives and we're keeping in step with the Spirit. And the Spirit shows us things, shows us connections in the people around us, connections that need to be broken and connections that Jesus wants to build. And as we hear the music, it fuels us to go out and bring others into a connection with Jesus. Living by faith is being tuned into the music that Jesus wants to play, the soundtrack of redemption. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Amen. Let me get the team back up. I think as the team plays and sings this song, I just want to allow a few minutes for anyone to respond if you feel like there's a connection in your life that needs to break, or a connection that Jesus wants to build. If you feel like you've been struggling to hear the music, or if you just want to strengthen that connection with Jesus, come down the front in this space. Just as we sing, I'm not going to pray for anyone right now. If you want prayer for something specific, by all means, me or one of the pastors can pray with you afterwards. But I just want to allow a few minutes for people to come forward and re-establish that connection with Jesus, if that's what you need to do this morning. Yeah, let's stand.